The story of Jesus and his disciples and the Samaritan town is a story that I think is it's just a part of the fabric of the Gospel of Luke. Luke's thesis, one of Luke's theses in his gospel, is that there is simply no place for Jesus. You'll remember that Jesus was at the very beginning when they had to go from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. There was what? No room for him, right? And no room for him in the house. And so there's one thing. Then remember that they were in Nazareth, his people, his own people, where he lived, where he grew up. They rejected him. They wanted to throw him off a cliff, right? Last week's story, the Gerasenes, they saw what Jesus had done for the demoniac. He had healed them. He had exorcised this guy from all these demons. And what did they do? They said, "Go away from us." They didn't want him. Right? And now in this story, Jesus says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man, the human one," remember that's what the Son of Man is, the human, the truly human one, "has no place to lay his head." There's no place for him in this world as it has been. That is to say, this world which John and James are totally in. When the Samaritans say they don't want to receive Jesus, and Jesus goes on, what did John and James say? They say, "Do you want us to bring fire down on them and destroy them?" That's the world that Jesus has no welcome in. That's a world Jesus has no place in. And he tells them, he rebukes them. And some texts say, Jesus says to those two disciples, "You have no idea what spirit you are of." That is what Jesus, the whole world has this spirit of punishment, understanding God as the punishing God. You know, Aaron got it right. God wouldn't do that. That's a bad idea. Well, that's because he's reading this story through the lens of Jesus. God is not the punishing God. God is not the one who brings vengeance on people. This is what Jesus has been brought into the world to show. This is the one who is truly God. This is the one who is truly human. Look at him. We desire to see Jesus. That was in the introit, right? We desire to listen to Jesus, to really see and to really hear what God is about. And that's in Jesus, who cannot find a place in this world that we have created, in this world that Paul talks about so much, with hatred and animosity and division and all of that stuff. There's no place for Jesus in that. Elaine Heath, who's used to be a professor at Duke Divinity School, and she's a theologian, she says, "The incarnate God has no welcome, the incarnate God is homeless until he is received by others." The incarnate God is homeless until he receives hospitality from others. That's it. Huh? How about that? And so you go back to these stories, and there's always, even though there's this sense of there's no place, there ends up being a place, right? Even when Gabriel talks to Mary, Gabriel's trying, it seems like he's trying to talk her into saying yes, right? And when she says, "I am the handmaiden of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word," that's when Jesus is received. The incarnate one happens. And then when they go down to Bethlehem and there's no place for them in the house, then, but the family said, "Wait, we do have a place. Wait, we do have a barn. We can put you in there." And Jesus is receives hospitality, and the incarnate one arrives. This is how it is. Our hearts are the ones that receive the incarnate Jesus. And it's only by our reception that the Holy One, the incarnate one, has a home, a place. Otherwise, God is homeless. That's what Luke's theory is. That's what Luke's thesis is throughout the whole thing. And this is where we also are part of this, because the Samaritans, they always have had animosity with Jesus, with Jews rather, and Jesus has done a very strange thing by not, usually when you go to Jerusalem from Galilee, you go around Samaria. You don't go through Samaria because, well, we don't like them. But Jesus, he's going to Jerusalem. His face is set to Jerusalem, and he's going straight through Samaria. Right? And that's important for us because though they don't receive him right now, they're going to receive him. Remember at the resurrection, Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Samaria and to all the ends of the earth." And all the ends of the earth? That's us, folks. That's us Gentiles who really have no business with the God of Israel, except that Jesus brings us in. So it goes to Samaria, and then all of a sudden, the Samaritans receive Jesus when Philip and the rest of them go in the book of Acts. And then it gets even bigger, and in Acts, then the disciples go towards us, Gentiles. It's who are even further away from God than the Samaritans. So this story is really about, okay, who is going to receive the incarnate God? And it ends up that it's us, too. We can receive the incarnate one. How does it work? Well, it works a little bit like this. On Wednesday, this past Wednesday, I went and had an acupuncture appointment with a woman who, I had known for a long time, but I hadn't seen her in years. So I went, and she used to have an office, now she works out of her house. Went and visited with her, and we were talking, and she said, she says, "Do you remember the first time we met?" And I said, "I have no idea." It was years and years ago, probably 15 years ago. I said, "No, I don't remember." She said, "You brought me a young woman with two kids, and she was in pain, real pain. And she came to you, and she asked if you knew if I could help. She asked me if I could help. She's talking to me. And the woman's name, we'll call her Maria. She wasn't Maria, but since we just talked about Mary, we can talk about Maria. So Maria came to me and said, I can't stop. I'm in such pain. I can't take care of my kids, et cetera, et cetera." And the acupuncturist says to me, "And so you said, well, I think I know somebody that can help." And it was this woman. Her name is Catherine. And she, I had never been to her before, but I know about acupuncture a little bit. And I said, "I think she can help." And so I called Catherine, and she said, "Oh, yeah, I'll meet you in my office." I told her the whole story about Maria, and she said, "Yes, I'll meet you in the office." And she's telling me all of this, and then I'm going, "Oh, I understand now. Okay, that's right. I remember this. And I remember that I had to convince Maria that acupuncture wasn't of the devil, right? You know, she was, like, really concerned about that. I had to be with her, and I had to reassure her and all of that. And Catherine worked on her, and she worked on her a couple of times, but that afternoon, and she felt better almost immediately. And I said, "Oh, I do remember this now." And I really did remember sitting in the office with her, kind of holding her hand through it. And then she says, Catherine says to me, "But here's the part of the story you don't know." And I said, "Okay." I mean, I had lost all of it, but here's a part you never knew, and that is this. When you called and asked me to come to the office for this woman, my husband and I had a huge fight." And I said, why did you have a fight? I'm really sorry." She said, "Well, you called me on Christmas Eve." And she said, "And my husband was not happy that I was leaving on Christmas Eve to go work." And then she says, "But I said to him, some random pastor calls me on Christmas Eve and says that there's a young woman who needs my help. I have to go." I have to go and take care of this woman. And I said, oh, wow, yeah, you're right. That was good. And that is the hospitality that we're talking about. Our hearts opened, saying, oh, I recognize that guy. I recognize the incarnate God in this woman. I recognize. And she came and she took care of him, her rather, and she was well. And I said, that is so cool. What a beautiful story. I had not remembered that part of it. And then the story just keeps on going. So I'm finished with my acupuncture point. And she says to me, no, I'm sorry. She says to me, and there's more to that story. I said, what is it? And she said, well, Maria is now, she lives catacorner from me, and we are dear friends and have been ever since then. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, that is amazing. And she said, yeah, it is. It's beautiful. And she's had a third child. She and her husband are doing great. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So I get up, done with my thing. She's walking me out the door. And as we go out the door, there's a guy, he's working on her chimney. He's mixing cement. And there's a woman with him. And Catherine goes, oh, Maria. Her husband is a brick mason, and he's fixing this chimney for Catherine, and she's standing out there, and he's standing out there, and Catherine says, Maria, do you remember him? And she says, oh, I remember you. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. I hadn't seen her in 15 years. And there she is. She has a third child now. And she and her husband are doing great. They live right across the street from Catherine. And I got to see him after her conversation with me about how she welcomed this person, how she opened her heart. And this is how it works. And then after that, I get to see her. So it's like this blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And then I get to talk to her little boy, who's 7 years old, was not alive, and I'm explaining to him all this stuff, the whole story and everything, and he looks at his mom, and he says, is that true? And she said, yes, this is a true story. And he was like, oh my goodness, it was beautiful. Just a beautiful story of somebody's hospitality to the incarnate God. This is how it works. And there are times, as Jesus says afterwards, right, that, you know, sometimes you just have to put your hand to the plow and go. Sometimes it's just this, like Catherine had to say, I'm sorry to her husband, but I've got to go. I am compelled by the Spirit to do this. And there it is. And there are times when we are compelled to do things, and we are sometimes asked to let go of something. Something that we think is important, it is important. But God has something else in mind for us, and that is to receive the Incarnate One, which is both a blessing for ourselves and a blessing for the world. And so when he says, put your hand to the plow. Hang on. This is what we are doing. He's saying, you know, sometimes I'm calling you to something that's strong enough, so important, that you just have to let go of the other thing that you were holding on to. And hold on to this. Has it ever happened to you that you've been called to let go of something you really love in order to follow what God is wanting you to do? The incarnate God is homeless, except for the hospitality of others.